Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haitland, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Join us now, the voice of Michigan football radio play-by-play for the Wolverines. His name is Jim Brandstatter. You obviously know who he is, the voice of American football for so many of us here throughout the great state of Michigan. Mr. Brandstatter, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. Happy Thanksgiving to you. How are you? How's life? How are things?
Everything's going great. The world is back to normal because Michigan and Ohio State are playing for all the marbles. So everything's good. And thanks, Anthony, and best to you, too, on this holiday.
You know, and you mentioned that, everything kind of being back to normal. It's rivalry week across college football. You know, you'll have Georgia Tech in Georgia. You'll have the Iron Bowl. You'll have, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State for Bedlam. So it's an exciting week across the college football landscape, Penn State and Michigan State, but nothing bigger than the game. And it's a 12 noon kickoff tomorrow on Fox with number 2 Ohio State and number 5 Michigan, as you mentioned, playing for all the marbles, a trip to Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship game. And what would many would assume would be a berth into the college football playoff. I have to start with this because we've kind of been down this road before, most recently, I believe, maybe in 2016, where Michigan fans were feeling very, very confident about things, but it just didn't fall the Wolverines' way. The maize and blue going into this game, does this year feel different? And if so, how come?
Well, I'm not sure it feels different. I think the fact that they won 10 games and they've been tested on the road, against Nebraska, against Penn State, two really good football teams that I think, they responded. The same thing on the road against Wisconsin. They've handled their business at home. And overall, I think, you look at them and they're a balanced team defensively. They make big plays. They've got two great pass rushers in Ojabo and Hutchinson. Their secondary solid. Their linebackers are playing great. Offensively, they're very balanced from a run-pass standpoint. Cade McNamara's done a good job. So, they are a complete football team. Special teams have been outstanding, too. So they're a complete football team. So, as you enter this football game, you feel confident. You feel that you're pretty good and that you can stand toe-to-toe with Ohio State. Now, that being said, this Ohio State offense might be as good an offense as I've seen in college football in the last decade. The only two I can think to compare, when Alabama had their three great receivers, Waddle, Ruggs, and I forget the other one, but they had Waddle, Ruggs, and then Najee Harris was their running back, and they were outstanding. And then the Joe Burrow offense of LSU when they won the national championship. But this offense compares to those very, very well. And those are the three best offenses I've seen in the college game in a long, long time.
You know, speaking of offense, when you look at Michigan's offense, a lot has been made about a little bit of a lack of a downfield passing attack from Michigan. They've been able to control the football by running it. It kind of felt like, hey, that's the identity of this team for this 2021 campaign. And then they went to Michigan State and they threw it all over the place. And it was like, oh, that's kind of surprising. And then they've kind of, pulled that back a little bit in recent weeks against Indiana and Penn State. Maryland, the offense puts up a ton of points. They get a pick six there in the second half, so you're feeling pretty good about that. The state of the Michigan offense and the ability to throw the football, is this more of a fan-driven narrative because we just haven't necessarily seen, maybe in comparison to what C.J. Stroud and the Buckeyes have been able to do down there in Columbus?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I do, because, I mean, when you look at the numbers, you wonder, you say, okay, they don't throw the ball downfield. And yet, Cade McNamara has touchdown passes of 93, 87, 76 yards. And you say, wait a minute, those are big plays. Actually, I think three of the top six longest passing plays in Michigan history have come this year from Cade McNamara. So, and when they've had to, they've been able to throw the football. They did against Penn State when they've needed first downs and they've needed those plays. They've been able to get the job done. But that being said, it's tougher on a defensive coordinator when you're balanced. And you don't want to have Hassan Haskins and Blake Corman. Last week we saw the explosive kind of ability of Donovan Edwards. You don't want to not get those guys the ball in space. So as an offensive coordinator, you've got all these tools in your toolbox. You might as well use them. And I think Michigan, you've got to use the running game and Hassan Haskins. And you've got to use Blake Corman. You've got to use those receivers. I think being balanced is what's very important. So to suggest they can't throw it downfield, I don't know. The numbers don't support that. But what I think they are is more balanced.
When you look at the Maryland game, you know, after watching Ohio State at noon and their absolute destruction and demolition of Michigan State, I mean, that thing was over very early on, and I really thought that for Michigan State, they got away from attempting to establish the run game with Kenneth Walker because they got behind. And a lot of times, you know, when the scoreboard seems to tilt one way or the other, teams start to press, and you're never going to make up, you know, two or three touchdowns in one possession. So try to, you know, at least stick to your identity. And I really felt like Michigan State kind of got away from that in that football game. For me, looking at the Michigan game later on Saturday, I just wanted to see a big number. You know, I didn't want to see like a 27-10 sort of game. I wanted them to see them put up a whole bunch of points, and that's exactly what they did, and it helped kind of calm my nerves from an observer standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, Michigan played a solid football game in all three phases. I mean, defense, offense, special teams, too. Special teams provided a touchdown. It's one of the few times in, I think, history or in the season you'll see a team score on all three different phases. We got a pick six from DJ Turner. They got a kickoff return for a touchdown from AJ Henning. And then they got offensive touchdowns through the air, and they got offensive touchdowns on the ground. So that's what you want to see from a team, in my opinion. And no matter what the score is, what you want to see is them playing well in all three phases and dominating in all three phases, because that sends you to your next contest or down the road with really good confidence. And that, to me, was the key. Not necessarily the score and the number that they put up against Maryland, but how that number came about. Came about through all three phases of the football game.
Jim Brandstetter, the voice of Michigan football. What concerns you most about Ohio State this year?
Well, the fact that they got their numbers are crazy. Their numbers for their receivers are just video game numbers. I mean, do you know that three of them, they got 187 catches amongst them? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think our leading receiver is like in the high 30s. And they've got 187 between the three of them. So clearly they are explosive offensively with those guys. But they also have a freshman running back with 1,000 yards on the ground. So they're just dangerous. And they are a big play waiting to happen. And to me, the key is Stroud and the quarterback. If he is allowed to stand back there without any pressure and is comfortable in the pocket and not moving around, not moving his feet, not looking over his shoulder at who's coming from the backside, then Michigan's defense is going to be, you know, really put to the test. But if he is pressured some, if we're able to move him around, get him uncomfortable, then I think that plays to Michigan's defense, and I think Michigan can mitigate some of that offensive star power that Ohio State has.
When you look at this team defensively with David Ajabo and Aiden Hutchinson, those two alone, and we knew that Aiden Hutchinson kind of coming in, Ajabo's really burst onto the scene and is really having a great year, so good on that young man. But those are two guys that really seem to do it all, and they always seem to show up when it matters most. Like, they're making all of the plays that Michigan fans and fans of football would expect from, you know, core defensive players. They always just seem to be in the right place at the right time.
I agree, and they're going to have to be against Ohio State. I mean, because they're a key to this game. I think pressuring Stroud, because their passing game at Ohio State is such a big part of their offensive explosiveness that you've got to put pressure on the quarterback, and that helps your defensive backfield out also. So they're very big important parts of this game. But I also think that you got to look at the linebackers, and Josh Ross is having a fabulous year. Nakai Hill-Green. Those guys have got to be, you know, at the top of their game too, because if you take away that pass, if you back out of there and force those receivers to go through a lot of people, now you're making yourself a little bit vulnerable to the run, and Trevion Henderson can run the football. So I think Ross and Nakai Hill-Green and Junior Colson and the rest of those backers, Brad Hawkins and Dax Hill, those guys all have to be at the best top of their game to handle this Ohio State offense.
It's always a great sign when you have guys like Nakai Hill-Green, who you mentioned, Junior Colson, Josh Ross, three guys at the linebacking position that are in the top five in your team in tackles. That means that they're very active, right? And that's always a good sign, you know, when you have...
Oh, yeah, it's a great sign. And I think Josh Ross is having, you know, a career year. He's just been everywhere. Coming off an injury from last year, I think he's really decided that this year, you know, he's going to be as good as he can be, and he has been. And I think also, don't forget, Michael Barrett has come on of late, Got a sack against Penn State. And he's a great athlete. And I think Michigan's in good shape with their linebackers.
You know, Jim, when we look at this 2021 season, if things don't go well for Michigan and they wind up being 10-2, but your two losses are Michigan State and Ohio State, we've been discussing this a little bit, you know, throughout the week. And my biggest challenge is, how would you explain to the young men in the locker room that 10 wins wasn't good enough? Like, how would you quantify or qualify this season for those people that have to put in all the work all year round? You get 13 weeks, you get 12 games, and that's really it. But if your two losses were to Michigan State and Ohio State, obviously there would be that, you know, that sort of like empty feeling within the season from the fan base.
Yeah, in many ways, I don't think you have to explain it to those young men. They know. They know about a rivalry game. They know how important rivalry games are to the fan base, to the university, to the coaching staff, and to themselves. They know that. So they're well aware. And I think that that's one of the things that maybe the fan base, whatever, makes too much of. It's not like those guys don't know who Michigan State and Ohio State is. They do. And they want to win these games as much as the next guy. But it comes down to on the field. Those teams, Ohio State's the number two ranked team in the country for a reason. We've been talking about it. There are 11 teams out there right now, except for Oregon, that are saying to themselves, man, what, we just got into a buzzsaw. So it's not just Michigan. I mean, it's they're good. Both Michigan State and Ohio State are good football teams. And you've just got to, you know, win one to get the monkey off your back. But I don't think you have to explain to the team that 10-2, you know, might be, quote unquote, a disappointment to some degree. But the fact remains, they are well aware of that. And they also, I think, you also have to tell them and make them aware that, you know, you're still a darn good football team, and we can get better. We've gone on the road. We've beaten teams like Wisconsin. We've beaten teams like, you know, Nebraska and Penn State, quality football teams. We have done this. We beat Washington at home in a game that many people felt was going to be an intersectional battle. So it's not like they haven't accomplished anything. But the rivalry games mean something, and those kids know that. So I don't think that's something you have to explain to them.
If they win this game Saturday at noon against Ohio State, Jim, and they book their ticket to Indy, it would be two giant, feats knocked off the checklist there for the head coach, Jim Harbaugh. And for someone like yourself who knows him differently than what we do on the outside, what does this mean, this opportunity mean for him to be this close right now?
Oh, it means a great deal to him. I mean, believe me, there's nobody more competitive than Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh likes to compete in anything he does. If you read stories back in the day, I mean, he was playing wiffle ball, you know, against the brick wall, against his brother when they were, you know, grade school kids, and he wanted to win. And nothing has changed, even in his days in the National Football League. Yeah, he wanted to win. They called him Captain Comeback in Indianapolis for a reason, because the guy just never quit. So, you know, that's in his DNA. And as a coach, it's a little different thing, because you don't go out there and play and throw passes and quarterback a team. You basically have 22 guys out there, or more than that, and a coaching staff that you're developing a group of young men to go out and play. So it's a little different, and you're playing teams with different talent levels. So I think it's important. The thing, too, I think everybody has to remember that if you beat Ohio State this week, that's a tremendous accomplishment, and it puts Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. But you then have to kind of come back down to earth and say, okay, we did that job. Now the next job is to win that Big Ten championship game, to take that trophy. You can't just get all full of yourself, because if you do that, you're going to walk into the next week's game and not, you know, and not validate the victory over Ohio State. So, and every time you get to this point, if you keep winning, the games get more important. The more you keep winning, the bigger the game and the bigger the target on your back. And that's up to a team collectively to handle that kind of pressure and to handle that kind of expectation. But that's why you go to Michigan. That's why you sign up. That's why you get the scholarship, because you want to put yourself on the big stage in those pressure situations and perform. And that's the best part about the whole deal.
You know, Jim, you played for Bo from 1969 until 1972, and it was that your 69 team that was the team that took down the number one ranked team in the country that year. You've seen this rivalry from, you know, the press box. You've seen it from down in the field. What are the butterflies like? What are the feelings like for the guys when they take the field on Saturday?
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, when you come through that tunnel, you're going to line up against the best, and that means you're going to have to be the best. It's that pressure I was talking about. The butterflies are intense, and you want to get that first hit over with. You want to see them up close. You want to see those helmets up close. You don't want anything to be strange. You want to have experience. And the most important thing is you want to do your job. And that intensity, that engagement in the focus that you have to have against a team that you know is really, really talented, and one is going to give you their best shot, it takes you to another level. And you've got to get to that level in order to compete and in order to win. And you know that. So you're just on edge. You're on the balls of your feet every time, everywhere you go, because you know that you're going to be asked to give your best shot and to do your best, because that's the minimum that's going to be required of you to win that game.
This is your final broadcast from the big house, and it is in the game. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared to do this one last time?
Yeah, I am. I'm ready to go. And the thing that's beautiful about it, I think, for me, is that I'm really not looking at it as my last game, because you know why? Because this Michigan-Ohio State game is such a big game. This game is not going to get in the way, or my last game at Michigan Stadium is going to get away of this game, because this game is so overshadowed. You know, my role as a broadcaster and my time in the booth. And that's just fine by me, because it always is and should be about the two teams playing on the field. Not about who's calling the game, not about who's refereeing the game, any of that stuff. And that's why I'm delighted that this season has played out the way it has, so that this Michigan-Ohio State game will be a classic by itself, on its own, without anything else in regards to who's broadcasting from the radio booth.
Jim Brandstetter, my friend, I want to say thank you for myself and guys like Dan and Ryan in the studio. You have been the voice of football for many of us for our entire lives. It's all we know, right? And whether it was, you know, the Michigan Wolverines or the Detroit Lions on Sundays, you really have been it. And I want to say thank you for all of us who grew up with you being in that booth and being the voice of football here throughout the state, because it has been it's been an honor and a privilege. And I can't say how happy I am for you and how much I appreciate your time today. So thank you, my friend.
Well, Anthony, I appreciate that. And like you, for me to have had the opportunity to call all these games, both at the NFL level with the Lions and, of course, at Michigan, it's been a privilege. I am not feeling bittersweet or sad about retiring and leaving the broadcast booth. I feel grateful because I've had the opportunity to do this. And there aren't many people that have had the dream job that I've had. So it's been my privilege and my honor. And I thank you very much for those kind words.
He is Jim Brandstetter. You can find him on Twitter at Jim Brandstetter, the radio play-by-play voice for Michigan football, Michigan sports Hall of Famer, Michigan Association of Broadcasting Hall of Famer as well. Jim, my friend, thank you again.
Take care, Anthony.